I'm very conscious that these are really the last words for you, for us, with Lois and I here in leadership. I was looking at some last words. Last words. What does this button do? It's probably just a rash. This is one that Lois would probably say to me, are you sure the power is off? What duck? What duck? Well, some of you got it anyway. Actually, the topic set for today was set back in July, beginning of July. And this was before Lois and I knew that we would be moving on from here. And it's very interesting for me that we end up landing on this topic of worship. I'm not going to stick to it completely, but I want to start there. And the gospel reading this morning was Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, and they've had this conversation, and Jesus says to her, believe me, woman, the time will come when people will not worship the Father either on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans do not really know who you worship, but we Jews know whom we worship, because it is from the Jews that salvation comes. But the time is coming and is already here, when by the power of God's Spirit, people will worship the Father as he really is, offering him true worship that he wants. God is spirit, and only by the power of his spirit can people worship him as he really is. It is only by the power of God's spirit that people can worship him as he truly is. It is only by the power of God's Spirit that we can truly worship him for who he is. I don't know how good your memories are, but some of you may recall that on our first Sunday, the 23rd of June 2013, after the service, can anybody tell me what I preached on that day? Yes, tombstones, yeah, delivery, deliverance by the power of the Spirit, the set reading for the day. But after that, we went across the road, and we'd taken my sofa from the office, and Colin interviewed me, and he had loads of questions that people had already sent in, and he collated them. And do you remember what the first question was? The first question was, are you going to stick to Mission Praise, or will you be using some of that newfangled stuff? Or words to that effect. And my response then is the same as my response today. To a certain extent, I'm not interested in whether it's Mission Praise or it's newfangled stuff. What I'm interested in is music and worship and liturgy that connects our heart to the heart of God, that opens us up to respond to God by his Spirit. The Bible is full. At least 12 times, if not more, it says, sing to the Lord a new song. And God has made us in his image. And I think part of that means that we don't look like him, but he's given us the creative power to be creative and to use that creative skill in order to worship God. Maybe that's in new songs. Maybe it's in artwork. I love sitting with Matt in my office and just seeing sometimes the artwork that he comes out that says so much more in just some amazing illustrations than we could ever say with words. God has made us to be creative and to bring new worship and praise to him. And if you like the old stuff, well, that's great, but get used to having new stuff, because it says in heaven we will be singing new songs as we worship around the throne. We are called, we are commissioned, we are set up to be filled with God's Spirit, and because God's Spirit lives in us, to release worship. You only need to look through the Acts of the Apostles and see what happens when the people become Christians and are filled with God's Spirit. They are released in praise and adoration, often with tongues that we don't understand, but God does. And God releases, and he wants to release in us true worship that comes from in here, not from a black book. He wants our hearts to connect with God. And so what I have tried to do, Lois and I have tried to do over the 6 years we've been here, is to enable us as a church to engage deeper in worship with God in a way that's relevant and contemporary and meets us where we are, in order that we can worship God through our worship and be released in worship. There have been several occasions in this church where new people have come. Actually, last week we witnessed it. Amy and I were standing at the front here, and we could see it very clearly, where somebody from the baptism party actually, you could just see that God's Spirit was hovering over them and working in them. I don't know if they were Christians, but you could see that God by his Spirit was touching them, and tears were flowing during the service. I spoke to somebody about 2 or 3 months ago who said, this is the first time I've been in this church. She said, I don't know why I cried throughout the whole service, but I wasn't unhappy. And it's because she was experiencing the touch of God's Holy Spirit in her life as we worship. And God has made us people to connect with him in relationship. I went back home a few minutes ago after our morning service, and I was just reflecting and praying and asking God for the right words for this morning. And he reminded me, of the passage where it says in the scriptures that worship is not about vain repetition. And so often, we can become so familiar that those amazing words that were carefully crafted and scripted lose their impact. And I think that's why the Bible says, sing a new song, because it brings a new freshness to our worship. And if we could leave a legacy with you, that would be one of the things that we would want to do, is leave that legacy of worship that connects you to the heart of God. Jeremy Riddle, one of the worship songwriters of today, says this: when Jesus is exalted, it wreaks havoc on the kingdom of darkness. When we simply adore Jesus en masse, it changes something. It shifts something over cities and regions. We know that. Sometimes we know it by faith, and sometimes we know it by fruit. And I want to encourage you, to ask you, to implore you to get deeper and deeper into worship, spending time allowing God to be the focus of your attention as you pour out your heart in praise and worship, so that in that atmosphere, God can work and change hearts and lives. Where the enemy is defeated, where we raise our hallelujah, and the enemy is flattened and has to flee. One of the things that I was talking to somebody here the other week about their children, and they were sharing that the songs that they sing when they go home are not the ones that teach them, not the ones that are carefully scripted in order to teach something, but the songs that the kids are singing are the worship songs, because it's their hearts connecting with God's heart. And we miss so much if we say, I'm not singing that because it's new. Anyway, it's not for you. It's for him. And it's what he wants. And sometimes we think we know better than he does. But we're called to be open-hearted and bring our praise, our adoration, our worship before him. R.T. Kendall, who was minister at Central Hall Westminster for many years, amazing, amazing man, written some amazing books, and is an amazing preacher and speaker and teacher. Those of you who have been to Focus with us will have had the privilege of sitting under his ministry and just absorbing some of his teaching. And he says this: psychological studies tell us that a truly mature person is one who is adaptable. A refusal to accept the new and the different may not indicate godliness or spiritual maturity, but fear. If our worship is to glorify God by being relevant, we must be willing to accept change. I was so delighted last week. My heart was bursting, actually, with joy as Amy stood here and preached. Didn't she preach well? Yeah, round of applause, I think, actually. Yeah. But I love the fact that she stood here in torn jeans and a stripy jumper. Because if you look around this congregation, our average age is not Amy's age. And we need people who will connect with a missing generation in this church and bring the life that will sustain and be the church of the future. So accept the change. Embrace it. And I'm hoping and praying that Amy will bring some changes that I never ever dreamed of, that will transform this church and set it alight for the kingdom of God. So one of the things that Lois and I have tried to do is to help with worship and this sense of freedom in worship and encountering God in worship. The other thing that we have tried to do, I believe, is to change from what I would call an instructional model to a participational model, where all of us see ourselves as priests in the kingdom of God, and that we all have a role to play in seeing the kingdom of God grow, of sharing the good news of the gospel. Actually, I haven't asked permission, but Julie, I hope you don't mind me saying that Julie, a while back, said to me, she said, I never ever thought 6 years ago, or as more recent than that, but she never ever thought that I would be praying for people, laying hands on them and praying for them. And one of the delights that I have is at the end of the service to see often people not only come forward for prayer ministry, but actually people sitting in the pews and praying for one another. And you see, I'm no different to you. I'm not special. Actually, vicar is just a job title. We're all priests, and we're all called to minister to God. Ian, Amy, Jennifer, me, Alec, we're just the same as you. We've just been given responsibility of a job in the church, and that's been recognized in a particular way, but we're all called to be priests and to share in the work of the ministry of the gospel. And Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, said that we, you, me, all of us, would do greater things than he did. Can you get your head around that? Jesus spoke about that in the context of people coming to him and him pointing out that he had done amazing things, miracles. And Jesus says, when we believe in him and trust in him, when we're filled with his Holy Spirit, we will be able to do even greater things than he did. And then what do we see? We see Peter and John going to the temple, and there's a guy laying by the gates of Gate Beautiful, and he's asking for alms. You know that joke, don't you? He asked for alms and he got new legs. He's asking for money to survive. And what do Peter and John say to him? I haven't got any silver, or I haven't got any gold. But what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. I suppose one of the things I've been mulling over these last few weeks is, what do I have? Because I can't give it if I haven't got it. And where do we get it? See, when you look at Jesus' life, it starts off with Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit. And in the power of the Spirit, as a man, Jesus, who emptied himself, Philippians chapter 2 says, of everything, who took on humanity like one of us, who then, being filled with the power of God's Holy Spirit, was able to do the miracles. If he came as God, well, you'd expect him to do all those things. But as he came as a man, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, he shows us and demonstrates what we can be like when we allow ourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I know there'll be some of you here that will think, is that true? Is that right? Or there'll be some of you thinking, so scary. It's the best thing that can ever happen to you apart from salvation. He's being filled and empowered with God's Holy Spirit, so that we truly as a church become participational, sharing in the ministry of God, that it's not about the vicar, it's not about the curate, it's about us proclaiming the kingdom of God to this area that needs it so badly, let alone the rest of the world. I would love this church to become more and more participational as we work together. I love the way that we're already doing that, but there needs to be an increase. And for all of us to fulfill the role that God has given us, so that his kingdom will come. You don't look convinced. But that's what's on my heart. And as we work together, you know, the Psalms say, where brethren and sisters dwell together in unity, there the blessing, the Lord commands the blessing. Work together, pull together, be participational. I want to encourage you to participate and engage, not to be a consumer, but a contributor. Come with the mindset that you're going to give. You're going to give to God. You're going to give to one another. You're going to work together to see change and transformation in this parish, in this town, in this nation, and in our world. And then I think one of the other things that we have encouraged is prayer. I'm not saying the church didn't pray beforehand, please don't get me wrong. And the church was very prayerful before we came, but I think that one of the things that we have tried to do is have a model of prayer that's different. Again, a model of prayer that becomes much more about a context of worship in which we pray together and then share together. I love Thursday prayer breakfasts. I love that sense of worship that we have together. I love seeing people come in at 7 o'clock in the morning, grabbing a coffee, having a chat. If you've never been, just that sense of community that there is as people come together to pray is amazing. And then you'll hear Tim probably, or Graham, or maybe Amy or Matt in the future, strumming, playing a chord, and people begin to come together in worship. We sort of do different models of prayer. We'll get half of those there singing while the other half pray out loud together. Isn't that amazing? God can hear lots of us all at once. Maybe we break into small groups and pray together in small groups, but with specific things. And, you know, I was speaking to somebody again not long ago who said, I never thought I'd be able to pray out loud, and that a prayer meeting lasting 3/4 of an hour would be so long and boring. And 3/4 of an hour is always far too short. And it just disappears. But then what I love is the model afterwards of seeing people grabbing a croissant and bacon, or croissant jam and coffee, and chatting. And again, you just see people praying for one another in the context. We normally get about 18 to 25 people come for prayer breakfast. There's 180 people on our electoral roll. Wouldn't it be great if there was 180 at the prayer breakfast? The caterers might be challenged a little bit with cooking all that bacon, but... And if we're serious about the kingdom of God, we need to be serious about prayer. I was sharing with Bishop Mike the other day, and he said, why do you think there has been such significant change? And my instant reaction was, it's the powerhouse of that prayer breakfast that has enabled change. I'd love to encourage you to attend. I know 7 o'clock is early. I hate getting up that time just as much as anybody else. Once a fortnight, couldn't you get up early and come and join in prayer? There's so much to pray for. Just look at this week that has gone. How many people died in the back of a refrigeration truck trying to escape some life to get a better life here? Look at what's going on in Syria, Iraq. Look at what's going on in Barcelona, in Hong Kong. Look what's happening with our own country and Brexit. Let alone the people we know who are unwell, who are in need of the touch of God's hand on their lives. I guess if I said to most of you, would you like to be like Jesus? You'd say, yes. I wonder how many times we read in the scripture that early in the morning, Jesus got up and went to pray. Could we do that? Could we pray together? Could we encourage you to come along? Be committed to that. What would happen to this parish if half, just half of those on the electoral roll committed to being with us to pray together once a fortnight. What could we see change? But I think if somebody was to ask me to sum up, what is it that we have done here in the last 6.5 years? In many ways, I'd say it's very simple. I would say it's at every service, virtually every service, we've prayed, "Come, Holy Spirit." See, it's not us that's made the difference. Whether you think that's good or bad. It's not us that have done it. It's God by His Spirit. If we're going to worship Him truly, we need to do it in spirit and in truth. And we have simply given, I hope, space for God to come by His Spirit and work among us, to release the gifts that He wants to give us, to have the freedom to interrupt so that we don't follow our schedule, but we actually are listening to who and what God wants us to do. And to have that freedom to say, "Holy Spirit, come. Come. The most ancient prayer of the church. Come, Holy Spirit." Actually, the most ancient prayer of the church is, "Come, Creator Spirit. And release your creative power among us. Come and fill us." And it's not a one-off. That's why Paul says in Ephesians that we are to be filled and go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. The present continuous tense. How many of you have got a car? Most of you. Yeah, lots of you. See, I think being a Christian is a bit like having a car. Being a Christian without the Holy Spirit is a bit like having a car and deciding you want to go and shop at Sainsbury's. So what you do is you get behind the car and with somebody in it maybe, you push it to Sainsbury's, you load it with shopping, and then you push it back home. There will be some bits that are uphill and will be a real struggle. There are some bits that are downhill. And actually, it will work quite well. But the car is designed to have fuel in it with which to power it and to go much further and deeper and greater and faster, especially if you're in a nice BMW that we were taken out the other week in. Have you got fuel in your tank? Or are you pushing? Struggling. Because God wants to pour His Holy Spirit into your heart and transform your life. I love that the Bible says that the kingdom of God is a kingdom of joy. And so often it's a kingdom. What could happen if God filled all of us with His Holy Spirit and transformed us? See, I think that's what we've done in the last 6.5 years is we've just said, "Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, you do your work. Holy Spirit, fill us. Holy Spirit, if we drink a little bit of you," Jesus said that it will be a well of water springing up to eternal life. And there's that picture, isn't there, in Ezekiel of that water that flows from the temple. And everywhere the water flows, it brings life. And Jesus, on the last great day of the feast at the temple, when it would have been reenacted, when they would have taken a pitcher of water, and I think it's on the south side of the altar, they would have poured out the water from this pitcher that begins to flow out of the temple as a symbol of that river. Jesus says, come to me and drink. Whoever drinks of me, out of him will flow rivers of living water. And John clarifies it by saying, by this Jesus meant the Spirit. So how about us taking a drink today? How about us getting filled up with God's Holy Spirit? How about us saying, yes, God, I want everything that you have for me. How about putting your theology aside, your fears aside? How about saying, God, I trust you with me and whatever you want to do with me. And for you to pray, come, Holy Spirit. We would love to leave you with a passion for worship, with a passion for participation, with a passion for prayer, but more than anything, with a passion for the powerful work of God's Holy Spirit. God is Spirit, and only by the power of His Spirit can people worship Him as He really is. So I'm going to invite you to stand, if you want to. Too late. Let's just take a moment to wait on God. And I'd encourage you in your own hearts to start praying, come Holy Spirit and fill me. You know that I encourage you as, and I only learned this from Sandy really, Sandy says that this is, Lord, I'm ready for anything you want. And this really says, touch me if you dare, God. Encourage you to hold open your hands and receive everything that God has for you. He only wants to bless you and encourage you and fill you. He only wants to give you good gifts. He only wants to take our meagerness and transform it into amazing power for His glory. And so, Father, we simply pray. We trust you. And we pray, come, Holy Spirit, and fill us. Come now, Holy Spirit, and fill your people. Come, Holy Spirit, and pour your power into the hearts and lives of your people here. Come. Father, would you release your gifts by your Spirit, Lord? I pray today people may receive new gifts of ministry in this church. Holy Spirit, come and pour your love into our hearts by your Holy Spirit, as you promised in the Scriptures. Come, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Move among your people, we pray. Fill us to overflowing. Just while we remain in prayer, yesterday we had a wedding here. And at the wedding, I have to hear the couple say to each other, I will. That's all we need to say to him. Yes. Yes, Jesus. More of your Spirit. Come. So may the love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill your hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon you now, remain with you this day and always. Amen. So go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ.